WBEZ is supported by Rivian. Off-road electric Joyride ride-alongs are available in downtown Chicago in a Rivian truck or SUV from September 19th to the 21st at the corner of East Illinois and North Michigan. Plus, a chance to win a two-night stay at a luxury Chicago hotel. Terms apply. No purchase necessary. Entry period is September 12th through the 21st. Must be 21 to enter. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. Visit Rivian.com/Chicago Sweepstakes to enter.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. If you took a deep dive into your family history, do you know what you'll find? And by deep dive, I mean going way back to your earliest ancestors. Maybe you'll discover a secret sibling or cousin. Or you'll find out that the ethnicity that you thought you were all your life is not actually true. What about finding a long-lost relative who's lived in your neck of the woods the whole time? Now, it's all possible, and we're hearing more stories just like that through the popularity of services like Ancestry.com and 23andMe. Now, there's a new kid on the block in our area. The Illinois Family Roots Pilot Program offers free DNA analysis to help Black residents trace their family lines back through the damage of slavery. At the table, we had Lakeisha David, who's assistant professor of anthropology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and founder of the African Kinship Reunion. Sherry Williams and Ernest Ajekum were two Chicagoans who made a familial connection through DNA testing. And State Representative Carol Ammons, who represents Illinois' 103rd District, joined us by phone. Now, I'm excited for this next conversation because our panel is going to help you better understand a few things, like the mission behind this new program, who it's for, and how it works. Plus, we're going to hear about how two people from the Chicago area found each other and learned about their own family ties to West Africa. Anthropologist Lakeisha David began by explaining how her work with the African Kinship Reunion is different from commercial DNA testing like 23andMe and Ancestry.com.
In a lot of ways, it is very similar, where we use the same type of DNA, autosomal DNA testing, and we can provide the list of relatives and those general relatedness results that gets posted on the website, like percentages, percent from here, percent from there. But what we're doing is focusing on those connections between people of African descent and our African relatives. So we're focusing on the family reunification between a diaspora person and a living African relative. So, and that is, in a nutshell, what makes us different.
Yeah, and this sounds obviously like it stems from the African Kinship Reunion's overall mission. So walk us through that and give me a taste of some of the early conversations you and your group were having.
Well, I remember being on Facebook, you know, and like those social media, the group pages on genealogy. And, you know, we've heard about getting those percentages. And so that's what I was expecting. And then I saw someone say, oh, I found a living relative from Africa. I was like, wait, what?
Mind blown.
What are you talking about?
right?
And so I just pivoted. That is really the pivot of why I began to do this research in the first place, because I saw that it was possible in my own trips to Ghana, to Africa. I knew the psychological impact that can have on people. And so I just wanted to make that available. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the early conversations.
Representative Ammons, you're here on the line with us. Why don't you say more on this Family Roots pilot program? What else should we know?
I hope you can hear me. Please confirm that you can.
We can. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. So I appreciate Dr. David and those guests that are in studio, and certainly you put in a spotlight on probably one of the most important things we can do to restore the lineage of Afro descendants in the United States. And in particular, we are really focused on Illinois because that's where we have the ability to do that. Myself and the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus decided in 2023 that we were going to have an educational trip to West Africa. The outgoing Congressman Davis and some of our other colleagues said, hey, the Black Caucus really needs to connect across the ocean and bring some of the legislative experience to bear for our colleagues on the other side of the ocean. Mm-hmm. And we should all go there and take a DNA test. Well, I did. I paid for a couple of the commercial tests at that time, myself and my husband. And I realized something very fundamental about that being problematic was that Afro descendants, those who were trafficked across the Atlantic Ocean and the descendants that are alive today, should not pay a commercial company to do and reestablish their ethnic identity. This is a very fundamental question that came to us as legislators as to why would we pay to find out where we were taken from? The state of Illinois in this case, and certainly slavery was in the southern part of the state of Illinois, as well as the United States as a whole, has to restore the lineage of Afro descendants without cost. And so once we realized that two things was taking place on the international level, the United Nations General Assembly Resolution 3384, which was passed in 1975, was a declaration for the use of scientific and technological progress in the interests of peace and the benefit of mankind, proclaimed that all measures, including legislative measures, needed to be utilized around scientific and technological advancement to promote the fundamental freedom of the people and the restoration of those people and populations. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I think was really important as I began to study the issue is Afro descendants are actually due reparatory justice, and genetic testing through the work of Dr. Davis was allowing us to restore the lineage of the maternal and the paternal side of the family. This was incredible information for me as a legislator to have.
Right.
And that's what led to House Resolution 453.
Yeah, I appreciate that insight. And now I want to bring our folks here, Cheryl and Ernest, into the conversation. Now, Sherry, you go by Cheryl, you go by Sherry.
No, my name is Sherry.
You go by Sherry. And Ernest, you go by Mensa.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, fantastic story of the two of you meeting up. I want to dig into it. First of all, tell us, Sherry, how you're connected.
We are connected through a kinship through Ernest's father's side.
Okay.
And I learned this through the scholarship of Dr. David. I had tested it with other kids as well, but certainly learning about whom I had been connected to seven generations or more was very enlightening. I had been raised in Chicago in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, always knew my connectedness to the motherland, but to find out exactly whom it was I shared kinship with was just mind-blowing.
Right. Oh, my gosh. And what was it like for you, Mensa? Your first impression here when you found out that you were connected to this woman, were you surprised, first of all?
I was super surprised.
And that she's here? Close by?
Yeah, in Chicago, yeah.
That would be just mind-blowing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me more about that first conversation.
So I didn't know what to expect when I did a test. And I told Lakeisha before that being from Africa, being from Ghana, I knew both my parents are from Ghana. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't even know what happened after slavery. I knew how slavery began. I didn't know what happened here. So my ex-wife and I would watch a lot of movies and I couldn't connect. So eventually, once I started getting it, I watched Roots, I watched Hidden Colors. I was like, okay, I was curious about it. So I saw a post on Facebook via one of our mutual friends saying that people who wanted to test, I was like, okay, let's see what
is out
there.
Let me try this out.
Let me try it out, see. So, but
what harm could it do?
Exactly, you know, my DNA is already in the system, so why not, you know?
Right.
So I did the test and, you know, we matched, you know, I actually matched about 3,000 people. And I was like, that's strange. Like, and also finding out what my genealogy breakup is, so percent from Ghana and Ivory Coast and Togo, Benin. I was like, I thought I was from Ghana, but, you know, all this makeup came out too. And then when we matched and when we connected, it was so surreal. Like when we met in person, it was like we've known each other all this along and we met again.
Oh, I see your face lighting up, Sherry, as he sort of recalls that. What do you remember from that meeting in person?
There was a wonderful party in celebrating Ernest's mother. And when I arrived, I certainly looked around the room and thought, these are my cousins and aunts from Inglewood.
Were you like, well, that's like my face, right, over and over again. And we look alike.
Immediately, everyone came over to me speaking the, is it pronounced tree language?
Tree, yeah.
And I said, I don't understand anything you're saying. I kept beaconing for Ernest to come over and interpret, but one of his aunts grew very angry with me because she said, how did you forget your mother tongue, your language?
Mm.
I said, again, I was born on the south side of Chicago, so it just showed how similar we looked.
Mm.
All of us have a gap. All of us smile a lot.
Wow.
All of us are interested in art or participating in art and ministry, dance. All of the similarities resonated when I first met the family.
I think that's fascinating. Mm. Lakeisha, you're looking over with pride here. I mean, is this the goal?
This is the goal. This many times over.
Yeah. Representative, how does it feel to hear this story?
You know what? That is a powerful story. It just really speaks to the scholarship of Dr. David. But she did something for me and my husband through the process that we did not know was possible.
Ooh.
My husband found a 59-year-old sister, literally, as a result of the work of Dr. David, helping us to process the DNA test. The commercial companies send you a report, but it doesn't tell you anything, really. It tells you very little. What Dr. David has done is said, no, we can directly connect you, Carol, to your half-brother who I just met in Boston this past week for the first time in my life.
Wow.
I didn't know who my paternal side of the family was and found my paternal side of the family. It took her very little time to look at the results from the other companies that we uploaded to the Takir site.
Right.
And she literally helped us find my father, who was a little out of Detroit, Michigan, find my brother who lives in Boston, who's a little, and find my very famous cousin, who's Malcolm X, that I did not know all of my years in Chicago that was my paternal side of the family.
So this is personal for you then, Representative.
I didn't think so at first. At first, I thought I was doing something for someone else because of my own experience. I didn't think it was fair. But now it's like, oh, no, we are restoring not just lineage, but we're finding relatives in the United States that have been separated by the Great Migration out of the South. This is a historic project, but we do hope that it becomes a permanent one for the state of Illinois.
Yeah. And with that, we'll say bye to you now, State Representative Carol Ammons.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for checking in with us. Lakeisha, I want to go back to some security issues that I've heard of in the past, right? We know, like last year, for instance, 23andMe mm-hmm. suffered a breach, a security breach. It affected millions of people. Mm-hmm. It was all over the news. What are you taking in terms of steps to ensure something like this doesn't happen?
Right. And so that is usually the first question is about security, about what are you doing with my data? And so first, like, it's understanding what happened in the 23andMe situation, which is basically they didn't have that multi-factor authentication set on. So with our services, we make sure that we are HIPAA compliant, that we do have the cybersecurity is on AWS system. So there's the audit and things like that. So we do have those measures for cybersecurity as well as training to make sure to reduce human error. So the only people that have access to the data are people in my team,
okay,
the principal investigators, people in the lab. We do not share the data with anyone, including the government. So even though the state is funding the project, this project is covered under the University Ethical Review Board.
Yeah.
So that means we're not sharing the data to commercial companies. We're not sharing the data to any other researchers. It's only the people within our team.
I get the sense you get this pushback a lot.
Well, I do want to make it clear because I do understand where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
When someone asks, you know, I affirm them because it is based off of fact. You know, we know that our bodies have been abused in it. And so I take it, you know, we're really serious about the security and helping people to understand the measures that we're taking to protect their data.
Now, Sherry and Mensa, they took one of these commercial tests. Mm-hmm. You also tested commercially, I hear, but you said that you weren't happy with the results you got. Why?
For me, it was more about So anyone who's done genealogy know the time it takes to do genealogy. It is a time sink. You can spend hours and hours and hours and still the brick walls and what have
you. Well, tell me more. I have never done this, so I actually don't know how time consuming
it is. And even when you do the DNA test, you get, you know, these general information, you get your list of relatives, but you still have to do the work of trying to build the family trees. How am I related to this? I call it the bag of matches. And so what Takir does, the African Kinship Reunion, and in this project is we're reducing that labor for people. We're doing that work for them.
Okay.
And so based off of the DNA, we are building family trees as much as possible. And where we can't, we still have those list of relatives and those other results that people are expecting. But the main part of our, like the focus is building a family tree and helping people to be connected with each other and highlighting those diaspora and African relatedness as much as we possible.
Yeah. Mensa, I think this is pretty cool. You have actually met several relatives through DNA testing. I know you mentioned earlier about the 3,000 or so matches that you got right off the bat, but you make it a point when you travel, is that right?
Yeah.
To find more cousins?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So I'll send an email. Like, typically, if I know I'm going to California, I'm going to whatever state, you know, I'll go on Ancestry and I'll just type in a state that I'm going to, and it would populate, like, know people that share my DNA in those areas. And I'll send an email out, like, maybe I'll pick maybe a couple or people that are maybe the top three, or maybe just randomly select and send an email like, hey, my name is Mensa. I'm originally from Ghana. This is what my makeup is and stuff like that. And we are related. I'm going to be here. If you want to meet, I'm very open to meet.
Wait, hold on. So how do people receive this? Because this has got to be a shocking email. I mean, we open up our inboxes every day. We're used to, you know, the headlines, Trump this, Trump that, whatever.
Yeah.
But here's this guy now saying, we're related.
Yeah.
Huh? How do they respond to you?
So I've had both good and negative responses. You know, I've had responses where some cousins didn't want to know anything about Africa just yet, you know, and I've had cousins that were excited to meet, you know. So the ones that don't want to meet, connect yet, I said, hey, my doors are always open whenever you're ready, you know. I've always been curious about stuff like this, so I'm really excited. Like, you know, whenever I meet, I think so far there's one cousin that's relocated to Ghana for good, Kevin Daniels. He and I spoke a couple of times. We never got to meet in person. When I went to Ghana 2020, I hoped to meet him, but he had tested positive for COVID, so we couldn't meet, you know. But when he went back home, he's really established. He went to Ghana for 2 weeks, came back, went for 3 months, came back and sold a couple of businesses and move back to Ghana for good.
So yeah. this can work. The reach, the cold calls.
Oh yeah, it does.
And cold emails.
It does.
Are you inspired, Sherry? Do you think you'll keep digging in the same way that Mensa's doing?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thread for me, of course, begins here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And although my family tree has taken root through the shaping of the DNA profile, I'm now learning about people who I'm kin to in Georgia. That had never been on my map until Dr. David began showing how do you read the number of ancestries and how long the timeline is for my family here.
So do you think you'll pursue that?
Absolutely. I've been traveling just as my cousin Ernest has and visiting places that were a footprint of my heritage. So Georgia's on my list next for the United States. And of course, I plan to travel to Ghana with my cousin Ernest.
Before you even embarked on this, what did you know about your ancestry, per se? You talked earlier about just the South, right? You know you're from the South Side of Chicago and maybe some other Southern roots in the U.S. But tell us more about what you knew going into this. And then now on the back end, did this experience change the way you see yourself?
Absolutely. I always identify myself as an African woman living and born in America, going to an African Methodist Episcopal Church all of my life. I knew that I had African ancestry because it was affirmed in our household through my grandmother, who always reminded each of us that we were African. And so from that, I also understood seven names on both sides, my paternal and maternal side, of ancestors. I knew them by name.
Oh.
It was taught to me through the oral history. And then, of course, when roots came, it became the time to start writing it down. But that was my brick wall, was stopping at the Civil War, We knew exactly what plantations our families had lived on, who had enslaved us, so forth and so forth.
Oh, so you were already starting out with a lot of information.
Right.
That's not usually the case.
Yeah. So my brick wall, for some, it might be at grandparents, but my brick wall was seven generations in. And so Dr. David's work opened up where the ancestry continued.
Now, does that make it easier for you, Lakeisha, when someone comes in sort of already having all of this data, per se?
Not particularly in at the stage that we're at right now.
Okay.
So right now we're focusing on the DNA. So, you know, it's not me alone. So I have my like PhD student, Mackenzie Macon, and now a new student, Shadam Samantia. We are focusing on the DNA part of it because oftentimes we don't have that trail in the records.
I imagine that most cases you don't have
the
that.
Majority of the cases. And so we really need a... you know, an accurate way of building the tree, something that we can have high confidence in just from the DNA. And that is the focus of my lab right now.
I hear your group's also currently got a presence in Ghana.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, tell us about that
work. So Dr. Rachel Mills at the University of Cape Coast is the other, one of the principal investigators that I mentioned earlier. And so we are also collecting DNA samples in Ghana, just like we're doing here in the U.S. Mm. And so all of that DNA goes into the same database. And so that helps us to build those trees and make those connections.
Mensah, what about, you know, because we talked a lot about your Black American relatives that you're discovering on your travels. But what about the folks back in Ghana, right, where you're originally from? Is there interest there in making connections?
So it's on my father's side has been... I don't know where to start from. My father did the test because
looks like there's a story there.
There is, yeah. My father.
Tell us. We got time. Don't worry.
No, he did the test because I asked him to. You know, my father belongs to a royal family, which is kind of closely related to the Ashanti king. Mm-hmm. So typically, they inherit matrilineal. It's their father's maybe, it's their mother's maybe. So trying to get my uncles to test, there was no conversation at all. Like, no. My father did it because I asked him to do it for me.
And what are their reservations? They don't believe?
No, not that they don't believe. They just, what if I'm not like my father is not who you have to be full blooded Ashanti to inherit something. So like for me, for instance, I'm a blend of both Ashanti and Ewe. So I did not have any claim to any royalty back there, even though I'm blood. You know.
I see.
So
they're afraid of the truth that will come from this.
Most likely, yeah. So sometimes I would ask questions about like, you know, because I get questions from some of my cousins who are asking like, you know, do I know this relative that was taken, what was, you know how the journey ends on the coast here, right? We don't know much about there's no documentations of people that were kidnapped on that side. So my family, from my uncles, I was told that like, you know, there was none of us were sold into slavery. They were either kidnapped or they were like, you know, exiled to Seychelles Islands. Mm. That's a story that I know from my father's side. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So they wouldn't test at all. My dad did it just out of the
wind. They said, keep that stuff over there in Chicago.
Yeah.
Any plans to expand to other parts of Africa, Lakeisha?
That's the hope. So what we're trying to do is do this project in Ghana and do this well, and then use this as a model to bring other collaborators who can help us expand to other countries, Nigeria, Congo, Cameroon, so forth.
What's next for the program in Illinois?
The hope is, so the pilot program, we're giving away 1,600 free DNA kits.
Oh, where are we at in that?
We just started collecting about 2 months ago. We've collected 203 kits, I believe, at this point.
Okay.
And then Representative Karen Ammons is going to introduce the Office of Genealogy Affairs in the next session. And that is what she was referring to try to get everyone who wanted to test, regardless of background, regardless of history, everyone who wants to test to be able to test in the state.
That's wonderful. And back to you too, Mensah and Sherry. I'm so struck by when you describe, Sherry, just the similarities, right? You said we all have a gap. And I'm looking at your big smile right now, your big family smile. Like, it's the same smile. Yeah. This is kind of insane.
Yeah.
What else did you all discover about each other?
The love of food. So
I might be family.
Yeah, people might find it odd that my favorite vegetable is okra.
Oh.
And when I share that with Ernest's mom, you know, the first thing she said, I got you. And so I went home with like literally full pans of food for my family. You know, I mind you know, I always enjoy a takeaway when you leave from some good food.
Of course.
But not to leave with enough for 20 people, right? And so I realized that that was one of the things that we shared. What I found fascinating the first time I met the entire family, and that would be Mensa's mom, dad, brothers, children, you name it, that we all love to dance.
Yeah.
And so we did some stepping.
I bet that was a good time.
Ernest is, you know, Mensa, I apologize, is a fantastic dancer.
Oh, really?
And he must tell you about that being part of
dancing. He's blushing as you, as you tell. Real quick, tell me, where you get these skills from?
So I majored in African traditional dance studies back at the University of Ghana.
Ah.
And also, with a connection with history with Sherry, my grand uncle was the founder, was one of the founders of the School of Performing Arts. He was commissioned by the first president of Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah, to go study African dances to be taught in school. So when she being the Brussels Historical Society, I was like, oh, that's a connection there. And other cousins that I've matched also have some form of entertainment. Like I have a cousin in Texas. He's a crazy trumpeter. I have a cousin that sings, and it's like, and all of them have a military background or passion for military. I've had a passion for military since I was like a little boy.
Oh, wow.
And moving here, just marriage just had me not join the Navy.
Yeah.
Anything like that. But, you know, that's one commonality that we have amongst
that
all
is
of us.
Very cool. And I think you have a lot of people listening that are like, wait, how can I be,
yeah,
Lakeisha, how can I be part of this clique? They sound like they have a good time.
Yeah.
So you said you were not even halfway, not even near halfway through the pilot project. You still got a lot more people that you can take on. How can people get involved, Lakeisha?
Go to the website, www.takir.org, takir.org, and you see the instructions right there. Just sign up. You go through the process. It will prompt you, basic information, do the consent and all of that, and then you can either show up at one of our events or request a free kit by mail.
When's your next event?
You have to go onto the website.
All right. Go to the website, folks. You heard her. We'll leave it there. Lakeisha Davids, Assistant Professor of Anthropology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and founder of the African Kinship Reunion. Sherry Williams and Ernest Ajekum, they're two Chicagoans who made an awesome familial connection through DNA testing. Best of luck to both of you.
Thank you.
What a journey you're on. And thank you, Lakeisha. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Sienna Greaves. It was edited by Dan Tucker. Please consider subscribing to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. You can also check out our archive at wbez.org/reset. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.